Psalm 56, the title that I've given to our study tonight is People Trouble. People Trouble. Psalm 56, Be merciful unto me, O God, for man would swallow me up. He fighting daily oppresseth me. Mine enemies would daily swallow me up, for they be many that fight against me, O Thou Most High. What time I am afraid, I will trust in Thee. In God I will praise His word. In God I have put my trust. I will not fear what flesh can do unto me. Every day they wrest my words. All their thoughts are against me for evil. They gather themselves together. They hide themselves. They mark my steps when they wait for my soul. Shall they escape by iniquity? In thine anger, cast down the people, O God. Thou tellest my wanderings. Put thou my tears into thy bottle. Are they not in thy book? When I cry unto thee, then shall mine enemies turn back. This I know, for God is for me. In God will I praise his word. In the Lord will I praise his word. In God have I put my trust. I will not be afraid what man can do unto me. Thy vows are upon me, O God. I will render praises unto thee. For thou hast delivered my soul from death. Wilt not thou deliver my feet from falling, that I may walk before God in the land of the living? People trouble. People trouble. Have you ever given thought about how stress-free and delightful it would be to worship and to serve God without constantly being troubled and annoyed by other people who get under your skin? Have you ever considered how easy life would be if other people would sincerely love God and love others as God calls them to do, or at least just leave you alone so that you can love God and love others as God has called you to do? I mean, think about it. How peaceful it would be if you could just go to work, run your errands, communicate with your family and friends, go to church, interact with your neighbors, coworkers, those in the community, without all the people drama, all the people problems we deal with in life that cause frustration, worry, disappointment, sadness, fear, distress, and confusion. How delightful it would be to go throughout the day, just one day, without others mocking you, misrepresenting you, taking advantage of you, lying to you, stealing from you, misjudging you, hating you, attacking you, disregarding you, and causing you to be troubled in your heart. Wouldn't it be nice? Wouldn't it be nice if we could just live in Mr. Rogers' neighborhood where everyone genuinely loved each other and selflessly helped each other when in need? Wouldn't that be nice? Okay, now wake up. I'm sorry to disappoint you, but what I have just described for you does not exist in this sin-cursed world. What I have just described for you is a Hollywood fairy tale. It's an imaginary dream that will never be a reality this side of heaven. How's that for an encouraging word on a midweek service? As we consider the words of David in Psalm 56, we find once again that David is dealing with distressing troubles that have been caused and are being caused by other people. Verse 1. David prays to the Lord, Be merciful unto me, O God, for man would swallow me up. Men, flesh and blood people fight daily to oppress me. Verse 2, mine enemies would daily swallow me up, for they be many that fight against me, O thou most high. Now, did you notice the mentioning of daily fights and daily attacks that are produced by other people? David says in verse 3 that the daily attacks from others cause his emotions to be stirred. Specifically, they cause him to be afraid, to be fearful, to be troubled. And David declares in verses 5 and 6 that evil thoughts and twisted words hurled his ways from others are causing excessive affliction and grief. Verse 5 and 6, every day they rest, they distort, they take out of context my words. All their thoughts are against me for evil. They gather themselves together, they hide themselves, they mark my steps when they wait for my soul. Do you want to know the source of many of David's problems in life? I'll give you a hint. The source of many of David's problems in life was the source of most of the problems Jesus faced in his life and ministry. Don't forget, David is a type of Christ. And the answer is other people. Now, this is not to say that David was without sin and never caused his own problems. This is where David differs from Christ, the perfect one. Just 5 chapters earlier, we examined David making a mess of his life through many selfish and sinful choices he knowingly made by giving into his unbridled lusts. Psalm 51 is his confession psalm because he just made a mess of his own life. And likewise, we read in the testimony of David that there were times where David was lifted up with pride. He thought himself to be a great leader, that he started numbering the people and patting himself on the back, which led to God's judgment upon others. He was the cause of other people's problems. Yet searching the Psalms and searching our Bibles, we cannot deny the fact that many of the trials David faced in life are brought about by other people, which teaches us that many of the trials we face in life are brought about by other people. If you're taking notes this evening, this is the first truth that I want us to recognize from this psalm. Many of life's troubles are brought about by people. As we think of what David has been dealing with in the Psalms, who can deny this theological truth? I mean, ever since David was a young man, David has experienced people problems. Remember when David was sent by his father to check on his brothers who were at war with the Philistines? After David spoke a courageous word for God, namely, "Is there not a cause?" David's own brother said, "Get out of here, you little shepherd boy. You don't know anything about war. We know the pride of thine heart." And then as David took down Goliath in the strength of the Lord, which caused others to lift up his name as a hero, what did it cause? It caused the king, Saul, to hate David. It caused David and Jonathan's friendship to be detached. It caused David to run for his life. And in running for his life, as we read last week, those he considered a close friend, those he was a fellow worshiper of God with, betrayed him and joined the side of his enemies to take him down. We read in the course of time that David's own son, Absalom, rebelled against David. So in the reading and study of the Psalms, it's important to keep this singular truth at the forefront of our minds. In this life, we will have tribulation. And many of the tribulations we face will be caused by people. Are you with me? Can you relate to this? If we only could hear the biographies of those in this room, we would quickly find out that there are people who come to this church week by week who were abandoned by their parents when they were born and immediately put up for adoption. There are people in this room who have never met their biological parents. There are people in this room who have been verbally, physically, and emotionally abused by others when they were very little. There are people in this room whose parents divorced when they were small children. And some of you personally have gone through nasty divorces and the consequences and the burdens which come from such a separation. Some of you have been betrayed by close family members and friends. Some of you have been scorned by close family members and friends. Family members and friends have said that you've been brainwashed by the church. You're a fanatical Bible thumper. You are a goody two-shoes who thinks you are better than everybody else. Some of you have been accused of things you are not guilty of by coworkers. Some of you have unsaved spouses who verbally attack you and verbally attack your faith in Christ, and the problems go on and on that have been caused by people. And I know, and you know, that such things cause deep wounds. The old saying isn't true. Sticks and stones may break my bones, but words will never hurt me. They do hurt. They cut to the heart. And more than words, the actions of others cut deeply. The attacks of others affect us more than we will ever know. Let's just be real. Among all the distressing things we deal with in life that trouble our hearts, that rattle our emotions, and keep us up at night, more than anything else are the distresses that come from other people. Someone says something and it frustrates you to the core of your being. Someone does something and you are disturbed for days on end. Someone hurts you and you just mull it over, over and over and over in your mind. Well, guess what? This is where David is in Psalm 56. David is doing all that he can to be faithful to God while others are fighting against him daily. No Mr. Rogers neighborhood in Psalm 56. Many of life's troubles are brought about by people. Now, before we turn to the next point, I want us to recognize the theological reason why this is so. We need to recognize why people are often problems for us. Here's the answer. People are sinful, and Satan delights to use sinful people to attack, distract, and discourage. Do you remember what Paul says in Ephesians chapter 6, verse 12? Paul says in that passage on spiritual warfare that we wrestle not against flesh and blood. We wrestle not against people, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Don't take Paul out of context here. Paul is not saying that we do not have human enemies. Obviously, we do. Obviously, Jesus did. But what Paul is saying is that the source of all of our spiritual conflict is spiritual in nature, not physical in nature. Paul is saying that Satan often uses others to attack. So our real battle is not with other people. in and of itself, but with spiritual attacks that often come through other people. The sooner we learn this, the better off we will be. Abel was killed by his brother Cain because Cain was of the wicked one. Joseph was betrayed by his brothers because Satan filled the hearts of his brothers with hatred and jealousy. There was a spiritual war going on. Job was maliciously attacked by his so-called friends so that Job could be discouraged more by the enemy. David was being hunted like wild game because Satan wanted to discredit the testimony of the man after God's own heart. Peter was pressed with his faith in Christ. Why? Jesus says, because Satan would have him to be sifted like wheat. You see the spiritual battle. Listen, because we live in a fallen world filled with spiritually foolish men that are following the ways of Satan, we shouldn't expect to live in Mr. Rogers' neighborhood. There's no train going around. And by the way, just so that we understand, while Satan may use others to harm us, discourage us, distract us, and smear our testimony, God often uses others to test us. And if you haven't learned this lesson, it would be most beneficial for you to learn it tonight. While Satan and men mean things for evil, God in His sovereignty, I think we're studying about that, God in His sovereignty has a way of taking the attacks of men and working them for good. You say, what good can come from the attacks of men? Well, first, the attacks of others teach us that man is as God says he is. Man is inherently sinful. Second, the attacks of others teach us that people will always disappoint us. Third, the attacks of others teach us that it is better to trust in the Lord than to put confidence in man. Men will always fail us, but God never will. And then fourth, the attacks of others give us opportunity to grow in Christ's likeness, to know Christ and the power of His resurrection and the fellowship of His sufferings. The attacks of others allow us to taste, listen, just a small portion of what Christ endured for our souls. You see, many Christians say they want to grow in Christ's likeness, but they don't want to grow in Christ's likeness through the experience that Christ experienced, namely hurt from others. Was Christ ever attacked by others? Did others disappoint him? Did others misrepresent him? Did others question him? Did others malign him? Answer, yes, yes, and yes. The Bible tells us others denied him. In fact, they denied him to the point where they desired that he would be crucified rather than a murderer, Barabbas. The Bible tells us, Acts 2, Peter says, they killed the Prince of Life in their ignorance. Satan and men meant Jesus' death for evil, but God meant it for good. So that being said, it's important that we view our difficulties, our frustrations with others as an opportunity to grow in Christ's likeness. Lest we become bitter, lest we become resentful toward others and God, we must submit all of our problems, all of our trials, all of our heartaches under the divine declaration of Romans 8:28. And we know that all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are the called according to His purpose. If you don't submit your people troubles there, you're going to grow bitter toward people and God. So point number one, Many of life's troubles are brought about by people. That's just life. Point number two. When troubled by people, we must run to God. This is what David is teaching us to do in the psalm. When disappointed by people, where does David run? He doesn't run to the psychiatrist. He doesn't run to the local drugstore. He doesn't run to get some Jack Daniels. When disappointed by people, he runs to the throne of grace. When persecuted, he praises. When troubled, he trusts. Verses 3 and 4. Notice, what time I am afraid. He's not afraid of the dark. He's afraid of people who are hunting his life. What time I am afraid, I will trust in thee, speaking of God. In God I will praise his word. In God I have put my trust. I will not fear what flesh can do unto me. And you won't fear what flesh can do unto you if you truly fear God. If you fear man over God, you will fear what man can do unto you. But if you fear God over man, you won't fear what others will do. Remember what Jesus said? They may kill the body, but they cannot destroy the soul. If we are God's children, we are safe in his hand, and nothing shall separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Persecution, distress, death, nothing. Verses 9 through 13. David says, when I cry unto thee, then shall mine enemies turn back. This I know. I know. For God is for me. In God will I praise his word. In the Lord will I praise his word. In God have I put my trust. I will not be afraid what man can do unto me. He repeats himself twice. Thy vows are upon me, O God. I will render praises unto thee. For thou hast delivered my soul from death. Wilt not thou deliver my feet from falling, that I may walk before God in the light of the living? What does David teach us in this psalm? He teaches us that when we are troubled by people, we have a place of refuge. When we are troubled by people, we must run to God in prayer. We must run to the throne of grace where the King is, so that we might be protected from evil men. For it's the King who holds the hearts of men in his hand, and he turns it whithersoever he will. It's running to the Good Shepherd and his side that we find safety and security from the wolves that surround us. Why? Because the staff is in the hand of the shepherd. He can fight back any opposition that comes our way, if we stay close to the shepherd. Now, if we stray from the shepherd, we're going to have problems. If we think we can fight our battles in our own strength and our own wisdom, people are going to disappoint us. So we need to stay close to the shepherd, letting him fight our battles for us. And then connected with point number two is point number three. When troubled by people, we must not allow the people trouble in our lives to keep us from doing the will of God. We cannot allow the foolish actions of others to deter us from running our race with all of our might. Yet this is precisely what our temptation is, isn't it? People attack. And we think and we say, well, if this is what I'm going to get to be faithful to God, I'm not having it. Or we think, well, I'll just compromise here a little. I'll compromise there a little. So that I'll have just less people problems. I fear that far too many professing Christians throw in the towel at this point when the pressures, attacks, and threats of men arise. Too many professing Christians become more and more fickle in their faith so that they will have less and less problems. That's not helpful. It may be easier, but it's not helpful to your testimony. It's not helpful to the cause of Christ, and it's not helpful to your relationship with God. Can you imagine David being fiercely attacked by others and saying, "What time I am afraid, I will be less loyal to you, God. What time I am afraid, I will spend less time in your word, less time with your people." Can you imagine David saying, "As for me, I'm not going to follow the ways of God because it just creates more drama in my life. Come on, help me out." Look, David is an encouragement to us. Why? Why? Because he remained steadfast in his faith though he was attacked daily. This is not fiction. The Psalms are not some poetic narrative that never happened. This is real life. And in a sanctified, strange way, David's attacks are helpful to us. We love the Psalms. Why? Because David didn't know it at the time, but God used his afflictions to meet us right where we are. David didn't know it when he was being attacked, but God used his attacks for our encouragement. Listen, our faith in the midst of the attacks of others will only be helpful if we respond to them trusting in Christ. We amen this, but do you know the number one cause of church division and church abandonment? The number one cause of church division and church abandonment is petty little problems with people. Capital P, petty. Well, they said this and they said that. So-and-so didn't shake my hand. So-and-so sat in my assigned pew. I'm leaving. I'm offended. I'm not inviting them to my birthday party. Give me a break. Parents, are you listening? Your children are watching how you deal with people problems. They're watching to see if that's going to throw you off the racetrack of faith. Church members, are you listening? Others are watching how you deal with people drama. Pastors, are you listening? Yes, Lord, help me listen. The ministry would be great if it wasn't for people, but the ministry is people. Ministry often involves being attacked by people. Sheep bite often, their teeth are sharp. Ah! So I lost this finger. Think Moses knows anything about shepherding people and people causing drama and problems, heartaches and troubles? In fact, so much so, he said, "Lord, just kill me. I'm done. I don't want any more. Just kill me." The people are saying, "Kill us." Moses is saying, "Kill me." We must not allow people troubles to keep us from doing the will of God faithfully. People shouldn't be your standard for doing what you do. God should be your standard for doing what you do. You're not going to stand before people when you die. You will stand before God and give an account to Him when you die. Just remember that. My time is quickly fleeing. I have one final truth I want us to consider, and I hope the Lord will give us the needed grace to hear it. In our talking about problems that arise from people, it's absolutely vital that we do everything we can to prevent being the cause of other people's problems. Oh, the pastor just flipped this on his head and pointed it our way. Listen, lest we become self-righteous Pharisees, foolishly boasting ourselves to be sinless angels when we are not, lest we try to pull out the speck in somebody else's eye when there's a 2x4 in our own eye, it's needful for us to constantly, constantly examine our attitudes, our behaviors, our words, our actions, and our reactions so that we do not become the source of trial and trouble for others. I know. We pat ourselves on the back and we want to attribute all the cause of our troubles on others. It's not us, it's all others. But the truth of the matter is, sometimes we are the cause of our own troubles. And sometimes we are the cause of disappointing and hurting others. So with that said, may we, you and I, be careful not to be among those who cut others with our tongues. It hurts. May we be careful not to quickly accuse others of things we don't have proper proof of. Gossip. May we be watchful over our attitudes, our behaviors, our actions, lest we become known as a constant nag and a burden to others. Listen, you don't want to be known as a Debbie Downer, do you? Debbie Downer, Eeyore, constantly pessimistic, constantly negative, pretending like the Lord's not on his throne. You don't want to be known for that, do you? You don't want to be the source of contention in the church, do you? You don't want to be the cause of pushing others away from the faith, do you? You don't want to be someone who causes grief to the heart of your spiritual shepherds, do you? Okay, well then you need to constantly examine your ways by the truths of God's word. You need to think before you speak, and you need to work at being kind, tender-hearted, forgiving, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. Again, I'm speaking to parents. I'm speaking to church members. I'm speaking to children. I'm speaking to pastors and leaders. If you think everyone is against you and no one is for you, maybe, just maybe, swallow this. Maybe there's a reason why few desire a close relationship with you. Maybe, just maybe, there's a reason why your family avoids being around you. Proverbs 21 does teach us that it is better to dwell in the wilderness than with people who are contentious. So what do we learn from Psalm 56? Here's what we learn. People will disappoint us. And sadly, we will disappoint others. And when either of these things happen, the same response is needed. We must run to God for grace and help and sometimes forgiveness. We must trust in the Lord rather than put confidence in man. If you're hoping to live in Mr. Rogers' neighborhood, you're never going to get it. This world is filled with sin. This world is filled with sinners who sin. This world is filled with problems caused by sinners who sin. But listen, God gives us grace to live for Christ in the midst of all these sinful problems. There's no excuse. There's no excuse. What does God teach us throughout the Psalms? If David could persevere in the faith with all that he dealt with, surely God could give us the grace to persevere through all that we're dealing with. None of us have dealt with the problems that David has dealt with. I'm not saying that none of us are problem-free and none of us have gone through really, really hard times. But here's God's way of helping us. God often sets the extreme through David and Job so that everyone might relate to it at least to some extent. And so that God might, through that, squash our excuses for not living for Christ in this world.